All right, guys, welcome back. EYL Hometown Heroes Edition, Chicago.
Chi-town, what's going on now?
Shout out to the Chi, shout out to the West Side, to the South Side, North Side, East Side, every side.
We was out in the South right now.
Yeah, we in South Side right now, for sure.
Again.
What area are we at specifically?
So this we in Washington Park.
Washington Park, shout out to Washington Park.
Those in the know, y'all know.
Yeah. So we got a very special edition today. But before we start, we got some housekeeping items we want to make you guys aware of. It's not too late to register for our workshop, our first ever workshop on 10/17. So as we said before, every single month we're going to be having a workshop in person, but also live stream for anybody anywhere in the world. And there's going to be a different EYL guest is going to speak about their area of expertise. So the first one is with our guy, MG, the mortgage guy. It's going to be about financing your first real estate deal, real estate financing for your first deal. So you go to our website, earnyourleisure.com, on the events tab, and you can register. As I said, you can do in person in New York City, but you can also live stream it and you can watch it. You don't have to actually watch it while it's going on, but the live stream, like once you have it, you can watch it whenever you, so if you're at work or whenever. So make sure you do that. So yes, all right. So now we have very special episode. I'm actually interested because this is something that I don't know anything about.
Zero.
To be honest with you.
Zero.
So I'm gonna educate myself on this. So yeah. Byron and Shanice, dynamic couple that also are business partners as well. So congratulations, first and foremost.
Congrats. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you guys, all right, you're in the mobile home industry, right? So for anybody that's not familiar with that, that is home on wheels pretty much, right? It's interesting because I met you at the event, our networking event, which was amazing, by the way. And
thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for having me.
And you was telling me about it, and you know, I was thinking like this is just an interesting thing. Cause we talk about real estate a lot, but we've never spoken or covered mobile homes. And you was actually educating me because a lot of people, especially where we're from in the Northeast, we have derogatory, which I learned was a derogatory
name. We shall not say.
Yeah. We used to call it a trailer home or in trailer park, but it's not called, it shouldn't be called trailer park or trailer home. It's a mobile home and a mobile park. Mm-hmm. But long story short, you can actually invest in these properties. And it's just like real estate. You can make money, you can wholesale, you can flip, you can fix up. And it's really interesting. It's a lot less as far as how much money you have to put into it. Yeah. It's a lot kind of easier, finance and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, before we even get into the details, can you tell your story of how you got into the industry?
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay, so basically, I've been trying to do real estate for 4 or 5 years, right? And when I tell you, like, capital, credit, I was having a lot of issues with that. And so, man, March 3rd of 2017, that was the day I was fired from work.
It's a great day.
Yeah, great day.
That's my birthday.
What kind of What kind of job did you have?
So I was in the transportation industry. I was a driver manager.
Okay.
And so, man, for that time, I'm like, man, how am I still getting real estate? So, man, I was in a life coaching program at that time to become a life coach. Mm-hmm. So I will say that helped me up to be where I'm at now. And that's something I hustled. Like I'm just trying to get into it. And at the time, man, I was driving Lyft to pay the bills and I was always listening to podcasts. And this particular day, I happened to find a podcast. It was on mobile homes. But mind you, I'm driving and people are like, man, turn that off, man. I ain't trying to hit that. I'm like, come on, man. So I sent it to her. I sent it to Sharnice. Like, hey, take a listen to this, man. I think this is going to be special. Send it to her. And then.
So I was listening to the podcast and that podcast has so happens to be on mobile home investing, like he said. And the biggest thing that I learned from that podcast was you can literally get started with very minimal capital. Credit does not have to be good. And those were the two things that I feel like at the time, because me and Byron were new investors, those were the things that were kind of holding us back. So once I heard that, I was like, okay, we need to get into this niche of mobile homes. So I came home, I told Byron, like, look, we about to get into these mobile homes. Like, I know we trying to get these three flats right now here in Chicago. We were trying to get buildings at the time, but like I said, our capital, our credit was not so good. So I was like, look, let's try something different. Let's go outside the box and let's conquer this. And man, it's been history ever since.
That's amazing. I mean, especially as a couple doing it.
Yeah.
Y'all supporting each other, which we don't see it. Like, this is the first couple that we've seen on our podcast. What did it take to have a belief in each other? Did y'all always trust each other? Like, how did that develop?
Man, dope question. So the biggest thing for myself going through that journey, I learned a lot. I took a lot of L's, went broke, messed up my credit, car repo, like all the worst, right? And so she had my back. She was the one person that I, out of everything from family, friends, that had my back. So it was like, yo, with this knowledge, like, I have nothing but trust, and I'm gonna have so much patience in this. And she trusted me, and I was just see her growth, and she just dug and became a student, literally with no entrepreneur experience at all. And I'm just looking like, yo, she a rock star. I gotta get a keeper. Exactly.
So, all right. So, okay. So you listen to the podcast, you sent it to her. What made you say, okay, this is something that we, because you both had lost your jobs, right?
Yeah.
So what made you say, okay, this is something that we're going to do full time? And what was your first deal? Like, what was the first thing that got you into, like, buying your first mobile home?
Man, so honestly, I had nothing else to lose. Like, I had took so many L's. I'm like, yo, this got to work. One of these going to work. So, again.
Common theme.
Right. So, you know, we got the scavenging, man. We took out a high interest loan for $10K, right? I mean, and listen, the interest rate on that was 24%.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Like credit card?
No, a loan. Yeah, I call them shark loans. Oh, okay. Almost like a payday loan.
Y'all went through like a credit union or something like that?
Lending club.
Okay. Yeah.
And so we got that, and then we just dove in. We started hitting the road. We had did a little education, but we didn't know. Like, we literally learned from the School of Hard Knocks. So we hit the road. We went all the way down to Cincinnati looking for homes. We didn't know. We were trying to see if we were going to move homes. And, man, our first deal, she actually found this guy and up in, it's called Love's Park.
Yeah, so I ended up, again, prospecting via Facebook. I found this guy. He was a park manager. He had a lot of older homes, and he was like, look, we got some homes under $5,000. You should come out and take a look. That was definitely our budget because starting out, we was like, we only want to stay under $5,000. So went out there. We looked at a few homes. We ended up getting two. One home, we paid $3,700. It was move-in ready, so we didn't have to do anything to it, no rehab. It was beautiful. And the second home we purchased for $500. We put a little bit of rehab into it, about $3,200. We ended up flipping those first because, of course, we wanted to go ahead and make some profit so we can continue to invest. So we ended up flipping those. We made $19,500 in less than 30 days.
And then you said, this is something.
This is it. That was it. Yeah. So
at that time, you were saying, like, that was already half of your yearly salary, right?
Yeah. So at that time, prior to me getting fired, I worked at the gas company here in Chicago. And my salary, gross, I was making about, like, 39. So you thinking about, I made about close to $20,000 in less than 30 days. That was eye-opening for me.
That's powerful because a lot of times people are afraid to leave their job. I posted something the other day, like, don't let a fear of losing $50,000 a year could stop you from making $50,000 a month. Mm-hmm. And you could break that down to anything, but like, your situation is like, listen, you actually was blessed to get fired or lose your job, however you lost it, because it's like, let's say that you might have stayed in that job making $30,000, $39,000, and it's like a lot of times people are like scared to leave, and you would have never even knew that you could possibly make $20,000 a month.
Yeah.
And then 5 years from now, you could be making $100,000 a month. Like, you know what I mean? So it's crazy. But I like that you guys supported each other and took the leap of faith, because that's extremely important, especially in a relationship. It's like, you know, you tell your partner you lost your job and it's like, you better get another one. What made you have faith in him and even like, okay, like, you know, I'm gonna support you on being an entrepreneur. You guys are entrepreneurs. Like, I'm gonna support you on being an entrepreneur. Like, with no business background, it's not like you guys were entrepreneurs before that. Like, what made you have faith? Because he said you were the only person that really had faith. So what made you have that faith?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, prior to, you know, Byron's entrepreneurial journey, like, you know, we were already, I guess, quote unquote, talking and dating before we got serious. And at that time, like you said, he had a good job. You know what I'm saying? So once we got back linked up, at that point, he was going through his hardships or whatever. But by that time, we had already built our friendship. We was already best friends. So it's like, as a best friend, why would I turn my back on him? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was there for him through all the hard situations that he went through in his life. And then I feel like he was also there for me, because at the time I had just lost my job. I was very stressed out. he was there picking me off the floor, telling me every day, like, Shar, come on, like, we about to do this together. Like, I'm thinking about us now, our legacy, generational wealth. Like, he was feeding that into me every single day. It's like I had no choice but to rock with it. Like, you don't get that every day, especially from a partner, from a relationship. Like, that's powerful.
Good man.
Yeah. she got me up here. Yeah.
Don't you cry, man. Right. Don't you cry. It's like a Lifetime movie. Yeah.
No, that's beautiful. I mean, yeah. I obviously, you know, I'm a married man, so like, yeah. I can relate to everything that you're saying. Like, yeah. Having somebody that knows that whatever we're gonna, mm-hmm. whatever I do is for us, right? Yeah. So like, we are one. So like, mm-hmm. the decisions that I make or she makes. It's for the betterment of us and our family, right? That yeah. legacy. So that's powerful. Shout yeah. out to y'all.
Appreciate you, bro.
Black love. Black love. So, all right. So I don't think people fully understand, like I said, especially like we come from New York. And mm-hmm. But you actually told me that there's a lot of mobile homes in New York. Yeah. But like yeah. the New York City area, metropolitan area, and, you know, a lot of listeners that may be from like cities, they don't fully understand how big of an industry mobile parks homes are. Mm-hmm. So I did some research. So it's 22 million Americans live in mobile homes. Mm-hmm. And so like, how lucrative is it? Like on the ROI standpoint, how lucrative is the mobile home industry?
Man, well, listen, it's the highest cash on cash return of any real estate investing. Like, I didn't believe it at first until, I'm gonna give you an example. Our average returns are 250% ROI on per deal that we do.
How long does it?
Our normal turnaround is 60 days. We know now we're to the point that we flip a house, we flip it in less than 15 days.
Wow.
Okay. So, all right. So, since you said that, can you break down a deal and like kind of explain like how does that work?
Cool. So I'm gonna break down with a deal. So we had a deal. We purchased a home for $3,000, mm-hmm. right, in Indiana, and the home that it didn't need any work. From an older lady, in most of the situations, right? Most people don't really know the value of their homes. Mm-hmm. And $3,000 said, cool. So what we did was we said, you know what? We're gonna open up for seller finance. We're gonna help somebody get affordable housing. In that area, the average rent, we normally base it off the average rent, it was $800, right? So we said, okay, we're gonna be comparable. Now, in a park, if you're doing mobile home investing in a park, the park has lot rents, just like HOA fees, okay? So you have to pay monthly those. This park was at $372.
So, all right. A lot fee. What's a lot fee?
So it's like a HOA fee. They're paying for the trash. They're paying for the water.
Just to stay yeah. on the actual.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So the park owns the land.
The land. Right. Yep.
And so you own the actual.
You can't just park yeah, your mobile home anywhere.
No.
It has to be inside of a licensed, like a park that has a permit and it's mm-hmm. owned. It's like a. Okay.
Right. And so normally like the ones that you drive, like the RVs, those are different, right? You yeah. go, you can go take drive those and go into a park and pay like a fee. But normally the ones that you see are kind of just like on actual like land, like those right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can move those, but it's not costly. Mm-hmm. Normally about $2,000 or so to move them, depending on how many miles.
Okay.
But in this case, so we said, hey, you know what? We'll take $428 monthly. Okay. So it was $800. So how it did, we put them on a 60-month term. Because remember, it's a mobile home is pretty much a motor vehicle in most states. It is not actually real estate. It is real property, mm-hmm. unless you put it on land. So this particular deal, we're getting $800 a month. We're getting cash flowing $428. We put them on a 60-month term. At the end of that 60-month term, that $3,000, we turned to $25,000. It was $25,620. Mm-hmm. So that's 700% return on investment we created.
So you the rent that you guys were collecting was $400 a month?
$428.
Yeah. And you, how much did you buy it for?
$3,000.
How? How do you buy something for $3,000 and charge? How much were they were paying $800 a month in rent?
Yes. Cause
how is that possible?
So with that, so instead of them renting an apartment, right? Because anyway, if they rent an apartment for $800, they got no equity in it. Mm-hmm. So we're providing just equity in that house, right? The thing is, we buy it for so low, right? We don't necessarily have to say, okay, we're going to only sell it for $5,000, right? We still operate, because if you think about the number, it's still a house. It's still a home for them. So at the end of the day, a $25,000 house, where are you still going to get a move-in ready $25,000 house?
So, that's crazy. But I was just like, but if why would somebody not just buy it on their own? If they, like, why would you rent for $800 if it only costs $3,000 to buy?
Yeah. So the thing is, for us being investors, it's almost like we buying off market property, mm-hmm. right? The most people don't really know that, hey, I can go get that. And they, if they do, they definitely take advantage, yeah. right? For example, we have a house Sharnice just sold this week. We got the house for $1,500. We sold it to him for $6,000. He's going to move the home, right? We still doing a favor. But then at the same time, when we offer seller finance, we just offer. I usually do anywhere from like $18. I look at $18 to $25 per square foot.
So you could actually, with your financing, you could have no money and get a home?
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I can, right? So like I go in, I have no money. I'm like, yo, I want to get this home. That's where you come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm offering. Because see, the thing is, most banks don't lend to mobile homes. Like Warren Buffett, he has two lending companies because he understands. Warren Buffett is in this game. He owns Clayton Homes.
Okay. Warren Buffett lends mobile homes?
Yeah. Yes. So he owns Clayton Homes. That was an acquisition he bought in 1997. Clayton Homes is the largest like manufactured home company in the country.
So banks don't give the loans because are they looking at it as an automobile loan? Like how are they looking at it?
They're looking at it as a depreciating asset.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, we look at it as value.
So it's a depreciating asset because it has wheels and anything that with wheels depreciates, mm-hmm. correct?
Right. Yep.
So is that true?
Nah. At the end of the day, for us, we look at it, we solve an affordable housing crisis, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's the biggest thing. Like cities, we know what, the cost of living is going up, mm-hmm. all right? Wages are still staying the same. So people are getting pushed out. Like we see it every day, like where it's gentrification, people can't afford. So for us, it's like, hey, listen, I get it. You've been living in this apartment for the last 5 to 6 years. Why don't you get your own asset, right? Because at the end of this, you can do the same thing. Most people that we educate that buy houses from us, we even teach them, like, hey, this is how you sell your home mm-hmm. to get your money back or make more on your home.
So where are these mobile parks located? In proximity to major cities, right? So we live in the New York tri-state. Mm-hmm. How many miles typically would a mobile park be located, right?
Yeah, good mm-hmm. question. So for you guys, I know you guys got one in Staten Island.
Right. Yeah, I think I told you that. Like, I've been in New York. We've been in New York our whole lives. Like, I don't think I've ever been to Staten Island.
Like, shout out to Wu-Tang.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then we got a few students out in New York, and they normally work with parks in Jersey.
Okay.
So they go over to Jersey.
Yeah, and about, honestly, I would say about 60 miles. If you're willing to go upstate New York, I'm not sure the exact mileage, but I know you guys have a lot central and upstate New York.
Is there like a mandated distance like that the like federal government will say like this is the furthest distance you can go before you create a park?
So here's the thing. In modern days, so mobile home parks, the reason why you don't see a lot of them popping up right now, mm-hmm. because here's the reality, taxes, right? In America, it costs on the average is like $12,000 to send a kid to school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you guys an example. I'm about to blow y'all mind real quick. Our taxes on our mobile homes per year, $160. Our taxes on our mobile homes in Indiana, $37.
For the year?
For the year. So you got to think about it. If you have a kid wow. living, if you got children, you got two children, and it costs at least $11,000, $10,000 to send them to school, that city is not eating from that. So cities really don't really like mobile home parks because of the taxes wise. And most mobile home parks, they're using the city water. They're using the city sewer. So, and you know, in that case, it's like, yeah, we're not eating off that. We don't really like this over here.
That's so. So I pay more in lunch money than that.
I always. All right. Here's a question. You live in a mobile home, right? How do you? What is plumbing? How does that work?
So everything is above ground. Everything is above ground. So the cool thing is, like, you know, if you need something fixed, they can go under the actual mobile home to repair.
So, but like your actual like, you go to the bathroom. It goes underneath the like. Where does that go?
Is it like a septic tank down there?
Yeah, so normally most parks, okay. So here's the thing, most parks either have, they're hooked up to city sewer, so they will have the hookup so it can go, you know, along with the city, or they have septic tanks.
Got it.
Okay. So like if it comes from your truck or your mobile home mm-hmm. into like a underground thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So if the taxes are so low, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the, all right. What's the gig? Because it has to.
Something's up, right?
Something's
got to
be
up.
Be like, what's going on
so,
here?
So, all right. The taxes are low. You can buy a home for low. You can sell it for high. So what's in it for the city or for the town to actually house these places? And how come more people aren't doing it?
Good question. So, I would say per state. Well, the first question I'm going to answer, you said like why do cities, so most mobile home parks are grandfathered in. A lot of them really popped up in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s began because after the war, the government invested into mobile homes, right? Mm-hmm. After they were using actually old warplanes and using the tin. That's why most mobile homes are kind of like that aluminum. They had a surplus of aluminum. So they like, yo, how can we use this? Boom, we built a house. So that's why mobile homes actually really start going. So in the 70s, when, like I said, once HUD got involved in the 70s, that kind of depreciated, right? The value of mobile homes, because at one point, mobile homes were the place to be.
Like, yeah, you told me that. It's like it used to be luxury.
Yeah. And it was kind of like suburbia. Most mobile homes are in rural, it's like suburbia, right? Mm-hmm. If you go to a lot of mobile home parks, they look like little, I guess you can say, suburban neighborhoods. And once when HUD got involved, unfortunately, think about the next generation, people start moving back to the city. It just kind of took the value down. So it was a need for affordable housing, but with cities, these places were definitely grandfathered in. There's a lot of cities that, for example, let's say an owner actually sells a mobile home park. Sometimes they're like, yo, that's inhabitable. They don't really want it, because they don't really benefit from the mobile home park.
So when did mobile homes get the bad name of like trailer parks and trailer home? Like, when did that shift? Because you said at first it was luxury, and then it kind of got tarnished, and people have bad ideas when they think about that. So like, at what point did that even, like you said, like trailer park trash, stuff like that, like how did that happen?
So to my knowledge, it was an article, I'm not sure the exact year, but I think I know it was like in the late 60s, and somebody had wrote a newspaper article about trailer trash. And that just kind of stuck. The name just kind of stuck. And then, of course, movies play out. You think about horror movies, right? Mm-hmm. 8 Mile. Yeah.
Right? I tell you, when y'all said mobile homes, the first thing I thought was Ozarks.
Yeah. Okay,
okay, it must be similar to that.
Right, right.
And so the ones they show on television, or they depict, I look at, honestly, it's almost like in the hood, right? They depict, like, you know, what they, for example, Chicago, they're going to depict on certain shows that is just the gutter, you know what I mean? Yeah. But at the same time, it's very nice mobile home. It's a luxury. People don't know it. In San Francisco, they have a mobile home park that literally $1 million mobile homes. The same double wide that I can go purchase for $15,000 is going for $1 million in an area in San Francisco.
Yeah, I saw Will Smith that had a mobile home. It was cost like $2 million. It was like a two-story mobile home.
Yeah,
like
he
travels like to movie sets with it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's dope. All right, so now we got the backstory. So now in the second segment, we're going to go into some details and go over terms and key definitions. All right, so now we're going to go over some key terms, definitions, things of that nature. But before I start, we talked about pricing, but on average, since we're in Illinois, how much does a mobile home cost on average?
So the average price in Illinois, used mobile home, is right at $7,500. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for something new, like if you're getting a brand new home, they can start it right at about like $35,000, $40,000.
All right. Okay. And one of the things, the negative connotations that go with mobile homes, is that they're not safe. So one of the questions I had was like, how safe are mobile homes?
Man, I love that question. So so mobile homes are actually, since they're built in factories, they're wind tested. They're built to last, outstand tornadoes and earthquakes and things like that, right? The thing is, unfortunately, like you've seen maybe CNN or so, they may show a mobile home park with like three tops, you know what I'm saying, right. Gone. But yeah, it's not like, you know, back, I forget what's the movie, whatever it is. But anyway, with the houses flying all the way around and things like that, no, it's not like that. They actually built safe.
So what's the lifespan, right? So sometimes, like, you know, a traditional brownstone might be built in 1909. What's the lifespan of a mobile home?
Good question. So the older ones, anything that's built after 1990, up to 30 years. The new ones are built to last within 45 to 55 years.
Okay.
So as far as you was explaining that title, right? And it's different from like when you buy a home, like a regular home, and you have a deed. So can you explain that process as far as like the title? It's easy to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so as far as a mobile home, like the mobile home is considered a motor vehicle. So it's kind of like a car. So when you are selling the asset, you're just going down to the DMV or whatever your motor vehicle department is in your state, and you're just transferring that title.
That's it?
Yeah.
How long does it take?
About 2 weeks to come back.
So the closing, what's the typical closing from buying a home and having it up and running? Like,
yeah, so honestly, it's like a day. I mean, so you buying the home, of course, we're dealing with the park, so we're going to deal with the park manager. Our buyer has to sign some paperwork with the park. That's about 30 minutes to an hour. That's signing a lease for that lot rent that we talked about earlier. After that, we normally take our buyers. We go to the DMV together. We do that paperwork, transfer the title. That's about, again, a 15-minute process, and then they'll send the title back in the mail. That normally takes about 2 weeks. And then the new buyer will get the title. They'll own the asset now. And then we move on to the next deal.
That was good.
Yeah, so one of the things when we were doing some research, it was like, there's a difference between modular homes and manufactured homes. What's the biggest difference?
So modular homes, more times you see concrete base where, so they have like, they are more plotted on cement, right? Whereas a manufactured home is, they're literally sitting on cinder blocks. Mm. So that's what you see is called skirting. So you'll see some vinyl that's like right around the bottom of that. So that's what covers that up. But the house is actually sitting on cinder blocks.
So, all right, what about insurance? Like insurance for a mobile home, is it different from insurance to a regular home? Is it car insurance since it's actually a transportation vehicle? Like how does that work?
Are we calling Geico? What are we doing? Hey,
what are we calling? Yeah, you literally can call Geico though. Like you literally can. So when it comes to mobile home insurance, it's very similar to what you would get for homeowners insurance or renters insurance. So you literally can call like Geico, State Farm, like your normal insurance companies, and just let them know like you would like to get insurance on your mobile home. And the typical cost for that is about like $14, $15 a month. So kind of similar to what you would pay for renters insurance.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what's the process? Because you said like the park owns the land, right? But you own the actual mobile home. Mm-hmm. What's the actual process to getting your mobile home into a park?
All right, so that process, you'll be really looking for a mobile home park owner who's looking for houses. And right now, it's like a gold rush, right? Like literally now, out of the 44,000 mobile home parks, 4,000 are institutionally owned, meaning like just corporations that own it. But it's really like the Wild West because they see the opportunity. Cap rates are crazy on these things. So for them, what's happening is you have literally called like bird dog watchers. They're going to other people's parks, right, from another owner. So let's say Rashad has his park, right? Mm-hmm. Now he hires me to come in Troy's park to scout out some of Troy's houses to take back to his park.
Mm-hmm. They're like recruiting.
Dirty game. Right, right. Yeah.
Dirty game.
Man, trust me, bro.
So like what's some of the incentives that a park or a lot owner would say live in this lot as opposed to live in that lot?
So the one thing, the cool thing in the newer mobile home parks, what they're trying to really do is make it a community base. Because that's one thing about mobile home parks get a bad rap. Mm-hmm. It's a really good community because everybody knows each other, right? Mm-hmm. So like, for example, it may be, you know, the amenities in the park. We got parks that got swimming pools and basketball courts. And
in the mobile home park?
In the park?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In the park.
Yeah.
It's like a whole kind
of thing. Exactly.
Yeah. And so it's really just the amenities. Like, what can this park provide, right? Like one park, I love it because they give beautification awards for whoever has the best lawn, right? Some parks are pretty much like a concrete jungle or on concrete, but a lot of parks are, I mean, have like huge backyards, gated fences, and garages. And like, you'll be surprised at seeing some of the way this stuff is developed.
So, all right. So you have a mobile home, you put it in the lot. But now the lot has a backyard and all that. So you have to pay for that backyard. Is that part of just the lot fee? Like, how does that work?
Yep, that's part of your lot fee. I equate to almost like taxes, right? Because I know here in Chicago, depending on single family home, you may be paying anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000 on your taxes, right? I look at it, that's the same as taxes. If you add that number, if you're paying $375 a month, when you look at the yearly, it's pretty much still in line with taxes and some people pay in their cities.
So in real estate, you know, when people have multiple units and multiple assets, they have property managers. In the mobile home game, you'll have park managers. Mm-hmm. Is it similar or what's the difference in those two roles?
So the park manager's role is really to oversee the park, for example, you know, make sure they fill in houses. You know, somebody's not paying their lot rent, make sure they send them their notices. A lot of parks have staff, so they have other handymen on the park. But the cool thing about it is they're not really, most parks don't, they do rentals, but they're not, let's just say, like fixing everything in the house, should you say that.
Okay.
All right. So there's two types of communities, right? There's age-restricted and family communities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, so all age community would be like, you know, 18 to really all ages. The restricted ones is the more, they're normally 55 and older, so it's more so retirement communities. And you normally see those like down south, Florida, West Coast, like Arizona, California, Las Vegas. Like you'll see the more restricted communities in those areas.
Okay, so how many people, like how many homes are in a typical community?
So it varies. It could be anywhere from 30 upwards to 500 homes. It really just depends on that particular park.
And you said that they don't, the park manager doesn't come around to collect rent, right? So what's the process when somebody doesn't pay? Is it the eviction process? Are the deadlines the same as state regulated, or is it faster for mobile homes?
Honestly, from what we see, parks don't play no games. Like, I'm going to say this. Like, most parks that we deal with, they give you 10 days.
Okay.
You get a 10-day notice, and then after that, I mean, you can definitely pay. But if you're past that 30 days, they got paperwork already, and they're starting that eviction process.
Wow. So, all right. What's the maintenance on mobile homes? Is it car maintenance? Is it house maintenance? Is it a combination of both? You have to change your oil? Like, what's the deal with that?
My timing belt broke.
Right.
So, I mean, literally, like regular house maintenance, right? Mm-hmm. The cool thing about a mobile home, all the materials are much cheaper than a traditional house, right? Brick and mortar. Because you're dealing with, most houses come with, you know, vinyl floors. They're coming with, they say wallboard instead of drywall. So most of your materials are cheaper. So like maintenance, like I tell people, if you're doing a full rehab on a mobile home, let's say a full gut, $12,000.
So speaking of that, you said fix up. So I took some notes. It's vinyl, it's rail rock, it's foam insulated, cinder block. So like, all right, you're fixing up and you're rebuilding a mobile home, right? Mm-hmm. How does that work? Like, you get a contractor to do that, and like, how do you do that? Like, is it just like a regular home or?
So you can, here's the thing, you can get a contractor, but it's a lot of a lot of mobile homes that use special contractors, right? They just do mobile homes because a lot of the maintenance is a lot of times cheaper, and the materials are cheaper. If I take somebody who has been doing all single family houses rehab, he comes to my mobile home. Trust me, my price is going to be a little bit higher because of what he's used to, right? But at the same time, we call him handyman. We got like a team of literally five guys. And when we need a rehab, we call them. They go ahead and do it. And the biggest thing for us, like, man, shout out to my guy, Packy Hood Estates. But just like, we keep it clean, safe, and functional. That's our biggest thing. And that's his. We actually learned that model from him. Clean, safe, and functional. And longest, that's our biggest thing. Like, we're not coming in there trying to do a bogus job, because you have people. Mobile homes don't have inspections really like that.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So it's really like, again, since it's a motor vehicle asset, it's not as strenuous as a house. Like,
there's no appraisal process.
Exactly.
No, not at all.
Exactly. And that's why for us, it's like, yo, we adding this value, because we're not gonna let nobody come in and tell us like, no, wait, this is only worth $4,000. Like, no.
So as far as like getting started, right, how much money do you need to get started in the mobile home real estate industry?
I mean, really, we always tell our students, like, little to no money. It really just depends on your market and really just how you're prospecting. You can literally, like, for me and Byron, we don't really touch anything over $5,000. That's the strategy that we have created and stuck with. But even in like the higher markets, like we always say, like, you can wholesale mobile homes. Like, you can still literally go in and still, we call it like being that helper in a situation and helping a family to sell their home. And then again, you going in with no money down, you're just now just marketing the home and then taking the profit off that and then still making sure that they get the amount that they're looking for. So
how does the wholesaling, because I know anybody's not familiar with wholesaling real estate, it's like you're pretty much like the middleman. You never actually own the home,
right?
But you can make a profit. It's like, if Troy wants to buy a home and you want to, if Troy wants to sell a home, you want to buy a home, and then I can come in and be like the middle person and then make like $10,000 or $15,000 and I don't really do any work. There's no risk. There's no money that I put up anything. Mm-hmm. Is it the same process for mobile homes?
Yes, exact same process. You know, you can put them on the contract, and the reality of it right now in this market is really no competition. It's wide open. Like, we're in Illinois, we only, like, that we personally, we know of 10 other investors, but we've only met two. and out of those, and the newer ones are our students.
Wow. So as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, right? Yeah, it's cool to get the mobile home, right? Mm-hmm. But you said that the person that owns the land is the one who makes the profit. How do I go about getting land? Do I have to buy a lot and then get licensing to have mobile homes on it? Like, what's that process?
So that's dope. So for example, let's say we get a lot of people like, yo, I got like 30 acres down in Mississippi. Like, can I put homes on it? It's like, yes. Yes, you can. You know, like, honestly, if it's your land, you, yeah. Like, I mean, the biggest thing is, For example, let's say you just got raw land, right? So yeah, now you're gonna have to get septic and you're gonna have to get the well system installed.
Okay.
On the high end, that can run you up to like $22,000. On the low end, you get all that installed. I hope you stay under 10, that'll be perfect. But let's say 12.5, right? Yeah. Now, moving the house, depending on where you're moving it from, a lot of moving companies start off right about that 1,000 range, as long as it's under 100 miles, depending on what it is. But let's say on a high end, your move is 5,000, right? Let's say you all in 30,000, right? Now you go get a house. You want to get a brand new house. Now you all in, let's say you got another 40,000, right? So you still under $100,000, right? And think about this. Now you can become the bank, right? You can either lease that land out forever, or you can just either package that up and now sell the land and the house.
Okay. So for buying it, do you buy it in a LLC, or you just buy it like as a regular person? Like how do you do that?
So when we started with buying in our personal, but now we purchase all our homes in LLC.
Why? Just from protection standpoint?
Yes. And then from there, we go ahead and roll them in a trust.
Dope. Why? Can you talk about that, the trust?
Yeah. And it's really just keeping your name off out. We don't want people to know how many assets we have. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we just learned from a mentor that, hey, this is just an extra layer of protection for us.
Smart businessman.
That's dope. That's dope. You guys, I saw on your Instagram page, you said, one property, you can get one property, I guess, like in the area, well, somewhere, I don't know where in America, but you can get one property for $45,000, and that could generate an income of $800 a month, let's say. Mm-hmm. But you can get 9 mobile homes for $45,000, and that generates an income of $2,700 a month. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Profit margins.
Yeah. So I actually made that post.
Okay.
First lady.
Right. First lady of mobile homes. But I definitely did that just to kind of show the margins as far as, you know, when we say like mobile homes is the highest cash on cash return on any form of real estate. So in that specific example, I kind of used the numbers that I got from one of my realtor friends who ended up purchasing a property for $45,000. In that situation, she was a landlord. They were renting it out for $8,000. So in that case, again, we always look at long term, the 60-month terms, because we normally put our tenant buyers on seller finance for 60 months. So in that case, if she's making in 5 years, she made a little bit over $45,000, so kind of close to like $48,000 mark. So she made her money back. But I took that same number and I was like, look, let me compare that $45,000 to what you can do in a mobile home game. So with $45,000 in a mobile home game, again, if you're sticking at that $5,000 range that myself and Byron stick to,
nine houses
for $45,000, right? Remember, we talked a little bit about earlier about that seller finance, putting our tenant buyers on payments. Now, if you're putting them on payments for a minimum of $300 a month, mind you, we're no landlords in this situation. So we have no landlord responsibility. We're playing the bank. So in that $300 a month for 9 homes, you're looking at $2,700 a month, again, in cash flow. So you already tripling your cash flow profit. So now let's look at 5 years. How much you looking to make in 5 years? It's like over $160,000. I can't remember. I think it's $162,000. So you've tripled your initial investing in mobile homes. So then it's like when people always ask us, like, why do y'all stick to mobile homes? That's why.
Brian? Good job, man. She knows our number.
All right, man. Yeah, that was impressive. Whoa. That was impressive. So, in the next segment, we're going to talk about education, and we're going to talk about scaling and a few other things. All right. So in the last segment, we're going to talk about education, scaling. But before I start, I just got a quick question. So, all right, there's different ways, traditional real estate, right? You like buy and hold and make money off of cash flow, or you can, you know, flip properties, right? So I know right now your main focus is flipping, but is there profit in buying and holding and getting like cash flow from mobile homes as well?
Oh man, definitely. For example, I got to give a shout out to one of our students, Harold, but he's down in Georgia and he purchased a mobile home for $1,500, put $1,000 into it. And what he did was he saw opportunity with truckers. He understand a lot of guys stay extended stays. Mm-hmm. So he rented out per room, $500 per room of his mobile home. Right. Okay. So think about it. He got his money back in like 3 months. Mm. Now he's making all profit. He just created $1,000 cash flow. Well, I'll say this. I think his lot rent's like $375. Mm-hmm. Right around that range. But at the same time, he's still bringing in close, you know, over $600 a month just cash flow.
So the lot fee plus whatever you charge for rent, that's what gives you the total rent price.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Yep.
So what's your vision to scale? Like, what's your plans on scaling? For your personal business brand.
And so we definitely want mobile home parks. Mm-hmm. So the larger goal with that is to get an acquisition where we find somebody who has a portfolio, 10, 20 mobile home parks that's looking kind of just to retire, right? And just pretty much purchase that portfolio and just build from there and really open up the floodgates for more people to invest in mobile homes.
Is that just something like just being in the industry you'll know, or is there like a database where you can see like these people own this amount of mobile parks?
Right. So we've been doing our homework. We got the top 100 companies that do it. Literally, to be in the top 100, if you own over 15 mobile home parks, you are in the top 100 of the companies.
How much does it cost for a mobile home park?
So now the prices went up. I would say on the average for 50 pads plus, you're looking at about like 1.2, depending on the region, 1.2 mil, 2 million. Really depends on the region, right? I've seen parks for that has 100 pads that was going for 1.2 mil.
Pad is just the area that's designated for the...
Exactly.
How much revenue can that bring in on a year?
Wow. So, man, that's a great question. So, for example, I look at it, if you have, let's say you have 200 pads, right? And then you get in you're getting $400 per pad. Normally, most for a park to be occupied, fully occupied, you're looking at a good park, 95%, right? 95% of those houses are filled. So if you look at your cash flow, I might pull out the calculator real quick. Troy, I heard you dope with numbers, man.
I'll run them in my head.
But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. But the cash flow, I know I had some parks that pretty much, but they're like netting per month in the, you know, in six figure range, and just net after everything. Mm. So I mean, literally a lot,
after a year, you could probably get your million back.
Oh yeah,
and then 100,000, let's say on the low end, 100,000 a month, you'd be making from that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And with like maintenance, you gotta have like maintenance, upkeep, and all that stuff.
Maintenance guys, if you have a park manager, that comes with your costs, of course taxes, right? But a lot of times, the thing what I've learned about in the mobile home park, if you give the tenants more responsibility, so they're responsible for water, they're responsible. That's how you cut costs. Really.
Also, like the utilities is up to them.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Dope. So you guys are teaching people how to get into the industry as well, right? How are you doing that?
So, man, we got several products. We got an ebook. We have an e-course. We do group coaching. We do a free live webinar every Wednesday, just to kind of get people acclimated, because that's the biggest thing. Like, we look at it like we wish somebody would have showed us this years ago. Mm-hmm. And then we see the opportunity, and it's low competition. Like, literally, I don't care if it's 10,000 people that started tomorrow, it's not going to be saturated.
Right, so y'all are selling people the mistakes that y'all made.
Exactly. Yeah.
So being that y'all in this industry and it was new to y'all, what are some of the mistakes that you made during your first deal?
Well, I would say one mistake we made being new investors, we was at a park, and the park managers, they had just brought the park as well. So it was new for them too. And they were showing us a house. And, you know, just talking, we actually made the mistake. Well, it actually wasn't we, it was Byron.
It was me. Stick to it.
But no, he made the mistake of letting them know how much capital we had, right? So he ended up telling them, like, oh, yeah, we got about 10,000.
Oh, that's
so,
on him. That's on him.
Right. Yeah. So, of course, you know, they tried to, finesse us. They tried to finesse us out of a deal, and pretty much was showing us a home that we knew was only worth about maybe a couple of thousand, but he was trying to sell it to us for about, I think, 4 to 5, and then saying, like, we would still have to put another 5 into it for rehab, pretty much taking up all of our capital for our first deal. So we quickly learned, like, yeah, you got to hush your mouth when you're going out to invest. And, you know, some other mistakes, I know you can bring up some.
Man, not winterizing the house in the winter.
Yeah.
Like, those pipes, since they're above ground, man, that was – and it's not bad. Like, honestly, literally the first time I tried to go a cheap route, so I hired a guy, he told me he could do it for $250. Like, $250 for plumbing? Yeah, let's go. And he just I paid for it. And then I had to pay another $5. But, again, $750 for plumbing. Right, like, where they do that at?
So
not in homes.
What about lack of market research? I saw that was one of the mistakes that a person could make, right? As far as like not knowing the market well enough.
We get so many DMs of people that just maybe jump on a webinar, and I get it because it is exciting, right? Mm-hmm. But you still, it's terms and it's not a lot, right? But if you try to jump in there and not really knowing, it can cost you more money, because most people hear like, man, I can start with 5,000, and then they'll take that 5,000, and then it's just like, okay, well, what about we always tell you to budget for lot rent, right? That's part of your expense. Mm-hmm. If we tell you to negotiate lot rent, sometimes park managers may say, hey, you know what? Like, let us rehab this. We'll give you a month or two free. But if you're not, you still got to incorporate that into your cost. It can take you on a long end 6 months to sell your house, right? So you got to just incorporate just the little cost that can add up.
On the rental side, when you're getting people to rent, what's the turnover? Are people signing in 6 month lease, or like you said, some of the truckers do maybe a month lease? What's the turnover?
So honestly, most people we realize that they're willing to stay at 5 years max in mobile home parks because you got to think about it. It's just like I look at it like this. It's just like the hood, right? It's certain parts of the hood that's just a gutter that people know they want to make it out to, and then they move to another part of the hood that's a little bit better, but they still want to move out. So it's levels to it, right? Unless you just in a mobile home park in Miami off the water, you probably not, you know what I mean? Like, you want to stay there for 10 years plus, right? But, you know, so honestly for us, we provide anywhere from 2 to upwards to 10 years. But normally most of our average is like 3 to 5 years, but the turnover, we rarely get people that want to leave, unless they're family. Like, for example, we had, a family that a couple, they were expecting their third child. So, you know, they need more space now. So in that case, but normally, yeah, they're going to stay.
So I saw on your page also, you said that people mistake is buying high and selling low, right? So, like, all right, how do you, like, well, how does that happen in the mobile home world?
Yeah. So I'm going to say this. Profit is profit. I'm not going to say we teach you how to be greedy, right? But we teach you how to make large returns. So, yeah, for example, if I buy a house for $10,000, and with our system, you turn around, you only make $2,000 off, or you make 12. I'm happy for you that you made money, but it's just like, you know, you left way more money on the table. So that's the way we look at it, especially if you look at it long term, right? Like, if when you do sell a finance, again, if you take a minimum of $300 for 60 months, that's $18,000.
So, what got you into education? Like, what made you want to spread awareness and teach people how to actually do this?
Man, be honest, for myself, like, that was already my calling. I've been doing a lot of mentoring. I've been doing a lot of coaching. And honestly, God's high, I never would have saw myself. If God would have shown me the picture, like, yo, yeah, next year you about to be doing these mobile homes. I'm like, bro, come on, bro. Right. But it just, he had a bigger picture for us. And I mean, both of us. And man, it was just like dope to even see Sharnice just like, yeah, let's go, right?
Yeah, like I told him, like, once we did our first couple of deals, I think we said, like, right here, and I told him, like, we got to show this. We got to teach this to our people because there's so many. I know so many other investors who have been trying to wholesale, who have been trying to get into traditional real estate. But, again, it's certain factors that have been stopping them, like credit, capital. They can't get started. So once I found this, I was like, come on, like, this is bigger than us. Like, this is for the people.
So I noticed you have students. So obviously they go through the webinar. Are you guys coaching them after as well and bringing them to their first deals?
Yeah. So we always say anybody who invests in the program, like, you family, like, hit us up. Like, we don't want to, we're not that type of like, okay, buy a program and then go out there on your own and do it. Right. If you don't hit us up, that's on you. You know what I mean? But we really, it's like an open book. Cause that's the thing. It's just like the more success that they have, like, that's just, I mean, that's joy for us, but it's just like, what we doing is just, we helping create wealth for them.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's dope. So, all right. Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
This has been
extremely educational. So, all right. What's the information for your courses? How can people contact you? How can they check out all of your programs that you have going?
Yeah. So, for one, man, Instagram is really our main page. Follow us at Mobile Home Elite Investors. There you can literally click the link in the bio that can get, you can get access to the course. We have a private Facebook group, an ebook. You need a payment plan. That's what we have. Private coaching, whatever you really need. That's what we get our program to help everybody. We got something for everybody.
Dope. Troy.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody on patreon.com. That's our proud to pay program. Everybody that's been supporting on there, there's 5 tiers. You can join any tier that you like. There's bonus footage there. There's bonus content. I just want to give a good shout out, quick shout out to our new members, Jada and Marquise, and Christian and Derek as well. They've joined, and some of them have joined the tier 5, some joined the tier 2. Anything that you provide is a blessing to us because it allows us to come here, come to Chicago, go to other cities, mm-hmm. and show, highlight some hometown heroes. And so this is great. And we learn every time that we do an episode, we learn mm-hmm. something new. So thank you to everybody on Patreon. Thank you to everybody on earnyourleisure.com that's purchased the merch. I think it's the first episode that everybody had the merch on.
Yeah, for sure.
So shout out to everybody that's been purchasing the merch. We got our tour shirts up there as well, so feel free to get that. Yeah, man.
Yeah, and yeah, assets over liabilities, that's what we're running with. So shout out to Chicago, the good city of Chicago has been very hospitable to us. And this is actually the first one of our Hometown Heroes. We're actually going to be releasing another episode with the Downing Brothers. They are Chicago celebrities. they got an HGTV show, and they're interesting because they're actually firefighters, but they're also real estate investors as well. Mm-hmm. And they're also television stars as well. So they have an interesting story, so make sure you check that out as well. And as Shoy said, the merch. But don't forget our workshop series as well. Our workshop is 10/17. And that's going to be financing for first-time real estate investors, how to finance your first real estate deal. That's going to be in person in Brooklyn, but it's also going to be live stream for anybody. You can go to the events tab on our website, earnyourleisure.com, to check that out. And also, as you guys know, I'm a financial advisor. So if you want to hit me up for a 30-minute consultation, anything from retirement planning, estate planning, life insurance, investing, anything like that, my calendar is also on earnyourleisure.com. And as I said, that is a 30. It's not to pick my brain. Please do not just call me for unrelated random questions. I'm being very generous with my time here. So it's specifically targeted for people that are interested in getting help in those areas. But yes, that is on earnyourleisure.com. And the book tip of the week is a step-by-step guide to buy and sell mobile homes. You know who wrote that book? Yeah, our guy Byron wrote that book. It's actually his last name is Sellers, which is actually very interesting.
Very fitting.
When he told me, I'm like, is that like a stage name? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like selling homes and his last name is Sellers. So it's God plan. It's God plan. Sure. Yes, so yes, check that. And that's the ebook, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes. So make sure you check them out. This is a very, very good episode for us, and mm-hmm. blessings to you. You know, it's extremely encouraging to see any young entrepreneurs, but especially a couple mm-hmm. That, you know, had start. It's not always all good times either, right? Issues when you first start, but to see you guys, you know, progressing, and mm-hmm. I'm interested to see next year, 5 years, 10 years. So I'll be following your journey. I'll be rooting for you guys for sure.
Oh, man.
For
appreciate
sure.
You.
So yeah. And thanks for welcoming us to your home.
Oh, yeah.
Right. People look at the background, they're like, yo, I like the new setup. We're kind of on the road, guys.
Right.
Yes, yes. And we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.